good. You're good towards us. That you love us, that you sent Jesus for us, and you want us to be transformed more and more into His image. And Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We put our trust in you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Excited to be with you all tonight.
Amen.
More importantly, I'm excited for the Word tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, anytime we get a chance to come together and hear the Word of God, what an honor for us to just encamp about Him.
Amen.
Amen. Spend time around Him, seeking Him, seeing what He wants us to do. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. Proverbs 4. Once again, I just want to make sure I encourage you to be back out here next week for Pastor Mike. You know, if you're newer here, I don't know everybody here, of course. This isn't my church. Just honored to fill in, but Pastor Mike is the one that's anointed of God to preach in this place, that's anointed of God to help spearhead what God is doing through Family Church Allegheny. Amen. And he has a message from heaven every Saturday. Of course, once the Tuesdays start up, all those Tuesday services. So be out here for those. Be expecting visitations from heaven. Every Saturday when you come, that's a visitation from heaven for you. Amen. Never treat it lightly. Never treat it as just another night or another thing that you have to go to. No, it's another thing we get to do. Amen. We get to go hear the Word of God preached to us by someone anointed to preach it. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited for you for when he gets back here. And what we're going to be looking at tonight, the reason I say that too is if you're going to pick between tonight and next Saturday, like if that's a choice for you, you just go ahead and walk out that door right now and come back next week. I'm kidding. Don't actually do that because the Word is going to help us tonight. But I almost went as far as to beg the Lord to not preach the message that I'm going to be preaching tonight. Because it's something, you know, Paul said in the Word that as sincere babes desiring the milk of the Word. Amen. And we know this, that there's milk in the Word and there's meat in the Word. And there's some things that we're taught in the Bible. There's a whole lot of stuff in the Word. I tell you, that's why we've been having church for 2,000 years, right? And we're not done yet. Amen. There's a whole lot of revelation in there that we've still got to get and things that God is doing and things He wants to say to us from it. There's scriptures, you know, Brother Hagin, my pastor, spiritual father, I'm not preaching yet, so this doesn't count. But my pastor, spiritual father, he taught on Mark 11, 23 and 24 over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and over again. And you know what? When he went to heaven, one of the things he said before he left is they still didn't get everything. And he preached that for 60 years, an anointed prophet of God. So we know this. There's things in the Word that we need that will help us in life. But some of the things that we're going to be looking at tonight might be a little bit meatier things of the Word. Amen. But I believe it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. We know it's the Word of God. So I just want to encourage you. If something I say tonight steps on your toes, makes you feel like, oof, why did he say that? Don't actually make that noise, please. It might distract somebody around you. But if it feels that way, I'll tell you, just take what you can and then put it on the shelf. What does that mean? Just hang on to it for the future when, you know, not everybody, there's babies that can drink milk and there's people that can eat meat. No matter where you are, just be the best where you are,
amen.
Right? So if there's something I say tonight that you know, maybe, wow, really? Ouch. Ooh, ah, You know, that's okay. It's the Word. Amen? It's the Word and it's going to help us tonight. I believe it's going to help us tonight. So we're in Proverbs. We'll pray before we get into it. Father, we love your Word. Thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, as we follow the Holy Ghost tonight, Father, I know that He's my helper, and He'll help me get out the things in this service that we need to receive tonight, Lord. Father, speak through me at this service. It's not mine, it's yours. Father, whatever you want said, that and that alone is what I want to say tonight. And I thank you that my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Father, ready to say whatever you want to say tonight to help us, and most importantly, to transform us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23 says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Tonight, we're going to talk about guarding our hearts. Guarding our hearts. And we're going to talk about three ways that we need to guard our hearts. And I'm not going to tell you what they are yet, because I want you to stay till the end of service. If I tell you now, you just go home. So you have to endure to the end, then you'll get saved. That's what the Bible says. I'm just kidding. But what we're going to talk about tonight is guarding our heart. The New Living Translation of this scripture says this, "Guard your heart above all else, And here's the reason why. For it determines the course of your life. Our hearts determine the course of our life. See, the way that our life goes, the Bible says this. This is the Bible, right? It's in the Bible. The way our life goes is determined by what's in our heart. It's not determined by the circumstances that we face. It's not determined by the people that have hurt us. It's not determined by the sicknesses that we've been diagnosed with. It's not determined by the bills that we can't pay, right? And we understand, you understand, we have a supply for those things. We have healing for the sicknesses, amen? But you understand what I'm saying, that so many times believers are impacted so strongly by these external stimuli when really our hearts determine where we go in life. That's what separates us from the world. You understand? Because the world can't control where, what direction they're going, because they're just like a dead boat in the water. Amen. They've got nothing propelling them forward. They've got nothing to... When there's a storm on the water, what are you supposed to do? You turn into the waves, right? You have to take action. But as soon as the motor dies on a big storm, if you, you know, you study those things, as soon as that engine dies, that's when they're in trouble, because now they're at the mercy of circumstance. You are not at the mercy of circumstance. You have the greater one inside of you that can turn you and direct you exactly where you need to go, so that whatever waves are coming from the outside, they don't have to take you out. And this is how we do it. Our hearts. Guard our hearts. Keep our hearts with all diligence. Guard our hearts, because what's in our hearts determine where we go in life. Amen. You know, my pastor drives motorcycles. He loves driving motorcycles. And he's shared with me before with our church about when he was getting his motorcycle license, one of the things the instructor said is that, you know, a car is more forgiving. You can be in a car, and because it's bigger, it's got four tires on it, you can, you know, you can swerve off a little and then get back on, or if you need to. But, and it's also, there's, because of the way that the wheels are set up, I guess, I don't understand all the logistics of it, but there's a little bit of forgiveness if you, you know, you kind of get distracted. You're still going to keep going in the same direction for a little bit before you start to get off. But a motorcycle's not so forgiving. Jeff, you drive, right? So you can attest to that. He says that where your eyes are is where that bike is going to go. If your eyes drift off to this, that's why you can't be a distracted driver. You shouldn't be anyways, but especially on a motorcycle. Because if your eyes drift off to the side even for a second, you're going to start going in that direction. Our spirits, our hearts, are what direct our spirits in that same way. See, where your heart starts to go, that's the way your life is going to go. If your heart is not attuned, is not in line, is not looking at God and His Word and His plan, we're going to start to drift off. Next thing you know, you're in a wreck and trying to figure out, what happened to me? This is what happened to us. We didn't guard our hearts. Amen? We need to get revelation of the fact that we are not subject to the circumstances of life. Too many Christians out there acting like victims to the stuff that they go through. And I'm not looking down with any lack of compassion on stuff. Everybody goes through stuff. I've gone through stuff. And I've just wanted somebody to hug me while I'm going through the stuff. You know, we ought to have compassion for each other. But at the same time, we can't let that compassion outweigh the fact that we need to be effective in the things of God. And the way to do that is to know that our hearts are to be steady no matter what the circumstance goes on around us. Amen. We're going to see a little bit of how to do that tonight. Of course, all this boils down to is faith. Faith being birthed in us. Amen. And your pastor teaches faith better than just about anybody I know. So I know that this is stuff that's already in you. We're just going to look at some other sides of it tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're talking about guarding our hearts. Tonight we're going to look at, we've got to watch who and what we allow into our hearts. Who and what we allow into our hearts. Because there's people and things that would enter into our hearts that would point us in the wrong direction. And that would gunk us up on the inside. A couple of years ago, I had a truck. Now I've got my Mini Cooper. I love my Mini Cooper. But I had a truck, and it was a good truck. And I had parked it at the church, and long story short, misplaced my keys. Turns out somebody else took them home thinking they were their keys. Oh well, doesn't matter. I'm over it. I'm not holding it against him. All right. So my truck is there at the church, and it's parked there, and you know, I don't remember if I had the doors locked or not. There wasn't anything of great value in there, just some receipts. You can have them. I don't like filing receipts, and so if they took them, okay, that's no big deal to me. But so by the time, I only had one set of keys at that time. I know. And so I think it was there for like 10 days before I ended up getting, I had to have it towed to the dealership so that they could make another master key for it because they could only do it at the dealership because of all the modern day computers and stuff like that. And so at 10 days it's parked there, and finally, you know, I have it towed to the dealership, and they make the keys for it. I'm on my merry way driving my truck. A couple of days later, truck starts riding kind of funny. It's, you know, spitting, stuttering. And this is, I mean, it's a 2012. It's only got 50,000 miles on it. It sounds like it's missing, you know, when a cylinder misses and how the engine kind of jerks like that and stalls out and things like that. Things that ought not be happening in a vehicle. And, you know, it happened a little bit. I filled it up with gas and it was better for a bit. And then it started happening again. I thought, what on earth is going on here? So I took it into the dealership and had them check it out. Well, through all these tests that they had to do and things like that, I don't remember how they got to this determination, they ended up siphoning out my gas tank. And they sent me a picture of what was in my gas tank. There was, it was basically a gallon, couple gallon jug. And at the top of it was that gasoline, that nice yellowy look that you want in your gas tank. And at the bottom of it, probably about an inch and a half, 2 inches or so, was Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. My car was parked downtown in our church, across the street from the police station, and somebody came along and poured in a bottle of Coca-Cola. Well, I'll let you know, that will... Don't take this and do this to your enemies. This is a bad thing. But that's a good way to knock out somebody's engine real quick, because my engine is made to process gasoline. Somebody put in sugar, which doesn't work in an internal combustion engine, gummed up the whole thing. And what happened is it went through what's in the, there's in the fuel line, there's a fuel filter. It went through the filter because it's a liquid, it wasn't a gas. And that helped a little bit. It wasn't a solid, I should say. So that helped a little bit with some of the firmer part of it, but it still got through the filter because it's a liquid. Then it got into what are called fuel injectors, and those are what actually pump the gas into the part of the engine where it needs to combust and then gives you power so that you can drive. And those got all gummed up. Why did they get gummed up? Because the wrong stuff was getting put in. Amen. Our spirits are meant to take us somewhere. They're meant, that vehicle was meant to take me to a destination. But because it got gummed up, it couldn't do that. See, we have to guard our hearts because our hearts are the direction that our spirits go. We're meant to go somewhere for Him. We're meant to accelerate for Him. We're meant to continue moving forward for Him. But there's too many Christians that their accelerators are all gummed up because they're putting the wrong things in. They're feeding themselves the wrong things. They're hanging around the wrong people. And because of that, they can't go where God wants them to go. They can't get there the way God wants them to get there. See, we have to guard our hearts, because if we don't, we're not going to get where God wants us to go. We're not going to experience the life of heaven on earth that Jesus died for us to have. And at the end of the day, I hate to tell you this, it's nobody's fault but our own.
That's right.
If we're not having a life of heaven on earth, now there's of course an enemy and we know that and we're not ignorant to his ways and his devices, but we're greater than him. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And if we're getting taken out by him continually over and over and over again, and I'm not saying we're not wrong for being attacked. That doesn't mean that we're in sin or that, you know, it could, but I'm not trying to bash anybody over the head just because you're going through a storm tonight. I'm saying how we go through that storm is the determination of what's in our heart. Jesus died on a cross so that we could get through every storm of life victoriously. We ought to be doing that. Amen? So three areas. I'm going to tell you the areas now. I'll give you a sneak peek to it. Three areas we've got to guard our hearts in: our associations, our media intake, and where we feed on the word from. Our associations, our media intake, and where we feed on the word from. So turn over just a couple of pages to Proverbs chapter 13. I believe we're going to get help tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says this: "He that walks with wise men shall be wise." You're all in favor tonight because my last name's Wise. All right, we're done. Let's go home. Proverbs 13:20, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." There's that destroyed word again. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We could say this 21st century talk, you are who you hang around. I mean, that's not a scripture per se, but it is a good adage that we can take, especially from this verse here. We are who we hang around. You hear great men say, show me your friends and I'll show you yourself. Amen. The people that we associate ourselves with, closely associate ourselves with, that's who we are. And if it's not who we are yet, it's who we're going to become. The Bible's clear on this. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. Listen, if you want to be wise, we all ought to want to be wise, right?
Amen.
Not just my last name, but actually have the wisdom of heaven. Solomon had greater wisdom than any man that ever lived or any man that ever lived since. And look what God was able to do through him. We want to be wise about the things of God. And this is how we do it. We associate with people that are wise. Proverbs 27:7. You don't have to turn there, but it says this. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. See, we ought to purpose, this is all guarding our hearts, right? We ought to purpose to be around people, to associate with people who encourage us to come up higher. Amen. My friends, people that I count my close friends in life. Because I have friends that aren't even Christians. You know, I'm not a jerk, right? I mean, Jesus didn't tell us to be jerks to people. He told us we ought to love people. We ought to be compassionate to people. We ought to be able to walk into a room full of sinners knowing that not one of them is born again and not have everybody hate us at the end of it, right? That's not Jesus. Jesus dined with sinners. And the Pharisees are the ones that cast stones on him for it. No, we ought to be normal, at least. We have to live in this world. We've got to be able to get along with people. But my close friends, that's what it says here. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. It's not just going a stroll with. It's who you closely, intimately associate yourself with. Who's your core group? Who are the people that, you know, the top five on your phone outside your family? The people that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt any time of day, they're there for you, shirt off their back, they're there to help you. Who are those people? Are they wise people? What do we mean by wise people? Are they people that are of like-minded faith with us? Amen. This is how we guard our hearts, folks. Because I'll tell you, I've been born again now 17 years, serving the Lord, preaching the gospel for maybe half of that or so. And I've seen over and over and over again someone on fire for God or a new Christian that just wants more and more of God, but they can't differentiate that line between where they allow their friends to speak into their life, where they allow the Word to speak into their life, and they get taken out because of it. I don't want to see anybody get taken out tonight. God's got an ordained of heaven plan, heaven on earth for each and every one of us. Amen. And when he says to guard our heart, because the way that our heart is, that's the direction that we go. This is just one way that he's talking about. Turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to see this in the Word tonight. And remember this. This is the Word. This is not just Scott Wise talking with you tonight. Amen. And this is good for me to hear too. You know, there's never a point that we grow beyond. I know preachers probably always say that, but it's truth. There's never a point that we grow beyond the Word being beneficial to us. Amen. Someone anointed to preach the Word, praise the Lord, it's going to be a help to whoever hears it. I hear myself speak and it blesses me as well. Not that I've got any great thing, but the Word is coming forth tonight and it's going to be a help to us tonight. 1 Corinthians 15. Say, I love the Word.
I love the Word.
All right. Three of you do. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So Paul here is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's correcting them, because as a believer, we ought to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You have to believe that in order to be born again. The next 20 scriptures after this talk about the truth of the fact that had Jesus not risen from the dead, we would not be saved today. And Paul says, he gets a little sarcastic at the end. I was going to say snotty. It's not really snotty. It's just, he gets a little in their face at the end, you could say. He says, listen, why have I endured the things I've endured if I'm not even going to go to heaven for it afterwards? That's what he's saying there. We have to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he went to hell in our place, and that he rose from the dead. If we don't believe that he conquered death, we've got nothing for us after. And that's what he's telling the Corinthian church here, because the Corinthian church, this church that's on fire for God, Paul told them, you fall behind no other church in the gifts of the Spirit. So here's this church that great and mighty things of God are happening. They love the Lord. They love the things that he's doing, and they want to be about that. But they lost sight of it. And Paul's correcting them here on it. But let's go down a little bit in that chapter and see the reason why they lost sight of this. Verse 33 says, "Be not deceived." Okay, I'm not going to be deceived. "Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." See, the Corinthian church had forgotten this basis of Christianity, this foundational truth. They'd forgotten it. What was the reason they'd forgotten it? They got around wrong associations. They allowed the wrong people close into their life to start speaking into their hearts, and out of their hearts, that's how their lives went, and they went astray from what God had for them. See, this is a thing that a lot of people don't like to hear, and we're only at the first part of it. There's more. So, I mean, if you're already feeling like you're bouncing around, just tighten your seatbelt, because we've got more to go here. This is a thing that a lot of people, they don't want to hear, because they think, number one, it's being closed-minded. They think that, you know, oh, I don't want to hurt that person. Listen, we're going to look at right and wrong ways to maybe break associations that need to be broken in our life. We're going to look at right and wrong ways to do it, because there are right and wrong ways to do it. We ought to still be able to witness to each and every person that's a close friend of ours. Amen. We ought to still be able to have a voice into their life. But this is the Apostle Paul telling the church at Corinth, they were in jeopardy of losing their salvation. Are we willing to lose our salvation over a friendship? I'm not. No man is more important to me than my Jesus. I tell you, if my wife started trying to get me to go astray, see you later, honey. I'm going with Jesus. You can say that sounds horrible and heartless. No. He saved me. He delivered me. He set me free. He's my Father. He created me. What greater pleasure could I have in life than obeying and serving Him? No one has the authority to pull me off that path. And if unless I allow it. Unless I allow them to start to speak into my heart, to get their words in my heart. I'm sure that these people that the Corinthians were associating with, we're not saying that they were devil-possessed people. We're not saying that they were, you know, now there were some devil-possessed people in the Corinthian church. I don't know if it was these people or not. But we're not saying that these people themselves were evil. We're just saying that the actions and what they believed so didn't line up with what the Corinthians needed in their hearts that it led them astray. Our associations matter. Amen. If we're going to guard our hearts, we've got to guard our associations. This was a few years ago. I had a close friend of mine. See, what's on other people, the things that they deal with, the things that they go through, and this is what it all boils down to. This is why the Bible warns us of these things. What's on them inevitably will try to get on us. That's why we have to guard our relationships, guard our heart, guard these things. And this happened. I can attest to this in my life. I was out, I don't even remember, it was a ministry trip of some sort, and I was rooming with someone, and that person was dealing with offense in their life, and in a strong way. You understand, we all deal with things in different seasons, but it was really, there was a spirit of offense that was trying to break their relationship with their pastor. And I spent some time with this person, and you know, I knew about this going into it, but I didn't guard my heart. I didn't guard my heart. I let my guard down because this is my friend. I don't need to keep my guard up right now. This person, you know, they're not out to hurt me. And I purposefully, of course they weren't. That wasn't their heart. But what was on him, by the end of that week of rooming with him, I was offended. Thoughts I'd never had before in my life, I started getting offended. I started thinking thoughts about people that I've never thought before. Started getting offended with my pastor. Started getting offended with the ministry. All these things. Why? What happened? What was on them was starting to get on me because I didn't guard my heart. And if I didn't recognize it when I did, I spent I didn't go into months of offense. I spent 2 or 3 days like that, and then I realized what was happening, and I nipped it in the bud then, and I said, no, you don't. But I recognized that even among my friends, we have to guard our heart. There wasn't a condition on that scripture. He said, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Amen? We have to guard our heart against these associations. And I'm not saying that, again, we get weird and goofy about these things, but we've got to be mindful of these things, because where our heart goes, if we want to be successful for Him, we've got to be willing to draw that line. Look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. While you're going there, I'm going to share another testimony with you from the other side of the coin. When I first got born again, of course I was in the world, you know, just like most of us were when we first got saved. And I had friends, and you know, none of those friends were Christians. None of those friends knew the Lord or wanted anything to do with the Lord. But it was hard for me to not be friends with them because we'd been friends our whole lives, you know, as long as I could remember. These were my close-knit group. We'd gone through stuff together. Of course, we didn't go through it well, you understand? Everybody's, you know, kind of flopping around like a dead fish on the ground, but at least we're all together. But here, finally, I get tossed back in the water, but I'm still trying to associate with these people, still trying to be friends with these people. And there was a balance to it. You know, I believe I could have been a witness to them. I could have been a help to them. I could have testified to them about what Jesus had done for me and wanted to do for them and just been a loving friend to them. But instead, I took what I'm talking about tonight a little too far. I went to them. And I said, listen, I'm a Christian now. I can't associate with sinners like you. Yeah, I said that. You all look at me the way you ought to be looking at me. If I go back, you think about the things if you could go back and change in your past. I'd just smack myself upside the head that, what are you thinking, you idiot? You know, but I was young and zealous for the things of God, and I wasn't thinking right. I wasn't, you know, I didn't know about the right way to do things. I was 14 years old. What do you know at 14? No offense to any 14-year-olds in here today. But there was a foundational truth there. I needed to separate myself from that relationship because that relationship wasn't taking me deeper into the things of God. But I didn't need to do it in such a way that I'm going to hurt somebody that could potentially hear the gospel. That person would never be able to hear the gospel from me. After that, I would never be able to lead that person to the Lord after that point. Never. Why? Because my character, the way that I acted in that moment, that wasn't God speaking through my heart. I wasn't guarding my heart. I was acting zealously. So there's a right way and a wrong way that we can do these things. You understand? 2 Corinthians, you're over there in chapter 6, says this, verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What has communion? What communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial or the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel or unbeliever? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, listen to this scripture, because this is the Bible, right? Say, this is the Bible.
This is the Bible.
Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Amplified version of this says, come out from among unbelievers, and separate or sever yourself from them, saith the Lord. See, this is the Bible talking, right? This is the Bible talking to us. Now listen, God's not telling us to go off and start some closed cult that no one is allowed to talk to us in. That's not what he's saying here. But who do we allow intimately into our hearts? Who do we allow to speak into our lives? When I go through a storm in my life, I go to people that I know are going to point me to the Word of God. You know, there's been times I've gone through, you know, we all go through stuff, and I was going through hell on earth. I mean, just absolute hell in my mind, the attacks, the oppression. I didn't want to live anymore. It was awful. It was a horrible time. And I was talking to your pastor. Why? Because he's my friend. And he brings me higher. That's the kind of associations that I need. And I was talking to him about what was going on. And all he did was point me to the Word. And he said, listen, I'm not going to let you whine about this. I'm not going to let you complain about this. You know what the answer is. And he pointed me to Scripture. I needed to hear that. But I've also got friends who I could have gone to and I could have told them what was going on. And, oh, Scott, I'm so sorry. Oh, they're horrible. How could they do that to you? How could they? That's not going to bring me to victory. I need people speaking into my life that are going to point me to victory. Amen. My closest friends do that. We got to make sure our associations, that's guarding our heart. Amen? Now, like I said, if any of this stuff tonight steps on toes or anything like that, first, know that I'm saying it in love. And I'm not telling anybody to go home and cast off all your friends or anything like that. Not saying anything to that extent whatsoever. What I'm saying tonight is guard our hearts. Amen? Amen. Be conscious of these things, that as we go through our day, who we allow to speak into our hearts, because whether we know it or not, it's planting seeds in there. Make sure that who's planting seeds in our hearts and the words that they're planting are things that we want a harvest on in our life. Make sure it's fuel, not Coca-Cola. Right? Amen. So that's the first part. We endured one third of it tonight. And we're running a little bit behind on time, but that was what was on my heart mostly. But there's other things too that we need to hear tonight. So we know we've got to guard our heart in our associations with other people. We've also got to guard our heart in our media intake, we could say. Turn to Proverbs, back to Proverbs chapter 4. Listen, I know this stuff's real basic. It's real. This is where we live. Amen. We live with people. We have to interact with people. Might as well be interacting with the people God says for us to interact with. We live in a world that's full of media. We might as well know how to balance it in our life. Amen. We need to be instructed on these things. We need to be helped on these things. Proverbs 4. I know before we read verse 23, we're going to look at verse 20 tonight. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So there's two ways that things get into our heart. Because this is right before he said, guard your heart, keep your heart. There's two ways that things get into our hearts. They get in through our ears, and they get in through our eyes. And both of those things, the word can enter in through. We can listen to anointed sermons. We can listen to, you know, music that's actually scriptural, not ones that aren't. I'm not going to say any in case. I don't want to hurt anybody here tonight. But not every song on the Christian radio station is going to help you. We'll just say it like that, all right? There's this one. I'm not going to. But if I ever hear you play it, I'm coming over and turn it off in your radio. All right, we'll just say that. We know that the word can enter in through our ears. The other way that the word can enter in is through our eyes. When we lay our eyes upon it, when we feast on it, when we meditate on his word and get it before us. When we do those two things, the word enters into our heart. That's that fuel, right, that we need. That's guarding our heart with the right stuff. That's allowing the right stuff in. But the enemy out there knows the paths into our hearts. And he can also take advantage of those paths. He can put things in our ears. He can put things in front of our eyes that get into our hearts. Just like we said before, do you want the gasoline going in? Do you want the Coca-Cola going in? Only one of those is going to take you to where God wants you to go. Amen. With our media intake, we have to be so careful that the things we're listening to and the things that we're looking at are things that are going to guard our hearts and propel us down the path that God has us on. Romans 10:17, we know, says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Matthew 6:22 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." See, what we look at, what we listen to, determines the course that our life is going to go on. And in a day that's filled with so much media out there, we've just got to put Matthew 6:33 into practice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. I'm not telling anybody to get off of Facebook. I'm not telling anybody to stop watching the news. Because you can take these things into excess. But that's how cults are formed. You understand? When people get off into excess on things, that's where people get crazy. We're not looking to get crazy tonight. I'm not telling anybody to give up their Facebook. I'm just saying, which one are we feeding more on? Which one are we allowing more into our heart? Do we spend more time meditating on the social media shares than we do on the Word of God? Because whatever we meditate on, whatever we allow in our eyes, whatever we allow in our ears, that's going to produce a harvest in our life. Amen. And if we want to guard our hearts and allow the right things in there so that they can take us where we need to go, this is how we do it. We've got to guard that. You know, I knew folks who dealt with anxiety in their life. Some precious, precious people. But they dealt with anxiety and fear in their life. You know, and I'd encourage them and tell them scriptures to meditate on and things like that. God's not given us a spirit of fear. All those scriptures in there. And encourage them and also tell them to find their own. I'm not going to do all your homework for you. You've got to take the word and make it your own. All those good pastoral things we say. So I check up on him from time to time. How's it going? And then, you know, you converse with people, maybe not so much in that setting, but just in general. And somehow along the line, I find out that they're watching, binging, not just watching, binging. You know what binging is, right? Binging is when you sit down and you purpose to intake that media and do nothing else until that entire season is over. That's a binge. Binge is when all we do is sit down and just, and you can do that now with media today, Netflix, streaming services. You can watch an entire season of a show in, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours. Where'd that entire day go? We just fed on that media. All we did was feed on that media. So I found out that this individual dealing with anxiety is binge watching crime TV shows. How is that helping your anxiety? How is that helping you overcome this thing that you need to overcome? See, this is a natural, we're just having a little talk tonight, right? This is a natural thing. It may seem like common sense to us, but at the same time, when we're in the thick of it, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. If you're going through something, meditate on the thing that's going to bring you out of it. You know, there's media from, there's things that I dealt with in my past. I'm not going to share those things with you tonight, but there's things that I dealt with in my past. If I watch something, if I watch a movie or something, and that particular thing is on there, I turn it off and I walk away. Why? Because I don't want to feed on that. I don't want that getting back in my heart. Jesus delivered me from that in my heart, and I don't want it getting back in. What we feed on in our media intake. Listen, Fox News is not going to save you in the day of trouble, right? I'm all for Fox News, don't get me wrong. But that's not going to be the word that I need to stand on when that bill comes in the mail. I'm not looking to Rush Limbaugh to get me through something. I need Jesus Christ. Now, it's great to know things. It's great to be informed of things going on in the world. You know, we can pray for those things, of course, but we've got to balance that with what are we seeking first? Are we seeking first the kingdom? Are we guarding our hearts? Because what we allow in, that's the direction our life goes. Can I share another testimony with you? And it's a somber one, but I want you to grasp the gravity of this. My wife, you know, we have three beautiful children at home. Joshua, he's 8, Andrew's 6, and Ellie's 4. And, you know, just three precious children. But in between each of them, we wanted kids, so we kept trying for kids. In between each of them, we had a miscarriage between each kid. So my wife has had 2 miscarriages. I know that I've got 2 precious little babies waiting for me up in heaven that I'm going to get to watch grow up when I get up there. Amen. But, you know, the first miscarriage, we learned some things on. That's another story for another time. But the second one, that day, that week, I guess I could say, I had been, and I wish I could say that this was longer ago in my past, but we all miss it. I'm just bearing my, aren't you glad you don't have to be up here sharing your stuff? I'm just bearing my stuff for you tonight. I had been binge watching a show on Netflix. I think I watched 3 seasons in a week. I mean, just, I was hooked on it. I loved it, I got it, you know, and I was enjoying it, so I was watching it and just binging on it, feeding on it, feeding on it. And it's not that I wasn't feeding on the Word at all, but certainly not as much as I was feeding on that Netflix show. I was getting that in my heart, right? So this one night, I get woken up in the middle of the night. Now, when that happens, usually there's a reason for it. I mean, sometimes it can be a natural reason, but I've been around the Lord and the things of the Lord long enough to know that usually it means there's something I need to pray for, there's something that needs to, you know, maybe a spirit in the house that needs to be addressed, things like that, you know, and that doesn't happen to everybody, but I know it's a situation that I've encountered before. But this particular time, I got woken up in the night, and had I been sensitive to the Spirit, had I been guarding my heart, I would have known that there was a spirit there seeking to take out something in my life, seeking to attack me and my family. But because I'd been feeding on that media, all I could do was picture myself and how I would knock the thing. I mean, this sounds ridiculous, but I'm laying in my bed picturing myself taking this thing out. Because that was I was watching an action show. And that's what, you know, he goes in and just fights people and they go down. And so I'm thinking, oh yeah, if there is somebody in my house, I could take them out. I've watched that show now. It sounds ridiculous, but that's where my mind was because that's what I'd been feeding on. You know, that was the direction my life was going. The next day, my wife had a miscarriage. The Lord revealed to me, you know, and he's merciful. He wasn't trying to rub it into me. But of course, when bad things happen to us, we ought to seek the reasons why so that they don't happen again. And I really didn't even need a word of the Lord to tell me what the reason was. I understood fully. I knew what had happened. Lord woke me up to try and get me to take authority over that. And because I wasn't sensitive, because I wasn't guarding my heart and I was allowing things in and feeding on other things besides the Word of God, I didn't hear that. And I lost a child because of it. Now, of course, I know I have a child waiting for me up in heaven. But see, these are, of course, that's the exception, not the norm, the gravity of that. But you understand the principle of the situation. Amen. That we have to be, we have to guard our hearts. The Word is clear about it. What we allow into our hearts determines the way that our life goes. Amen. So we guard our associations. We guard our media intake. The last thing we're going to look at guarding tonight is where we feed on the Word from. Where we feed from. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. What do I mean by feed on the Word? Well, we know this. There's people that are anointed to teach us the gospel. Our pastors, those that God has placed us under. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that. We're looking at 2 Timothy 4 now. But where we feed on the Word from determines what's in our heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, so they heap up to themselves teachers, having itching ears." See, we have a natural tendency toward over-hungering for some things, right? Just naturally, we have to buffet our bodies. We have to, listen, I know, mine is apparent for you tonight. But if you knew, I mean, I'd be even bigger if I didn't buffet at all right? But naturally, we have a tendency in that direction to just go completely overboard. It's the same thing with the Spirit of God. I've seen Christians who they get born again, and they come to the church, and they get planted in the church, and that's great. But then they spend the rest of all of their time, we're talking about media again, feeding on Christian TV, feeding on Christian radio, buying every single book in the Walmart Christian book aisle. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. He said, guard our hearts. Now listen, we could be real quick to get closed-minded to things if we talk about this, unless we balance it right. I'm not saying that what these other people are doing is wrong. But we've got to know where God has called us to feed from. And He's called us, me, I'm assuming you, if you're here tonight, He's called you to feed from Pastor Mike Anderson. He's called me to feed from Pastor Michael Loketic. Those are the ones anointed to bring food into my life. See, they know, a sheep knows his flock. Jesus talks about that they know the flock and the flock knows the voice of their shepherd. Amen. When our shepherd knows how to cater a diet specifically that we need. And if I start going and eating somewhere else, I'm going to start getting other things in my diet that aren't good for me. Things that, they may be preaching the Word, some of them may not be preaching the Word. My pastor, I know, preaches the Word because God's told me to feed from him. Amen. When I start dabbling outside of that, that's dangerous territory. I'm not saying what anybody else is doing is wrong. I'm not telling us to be completely closed off to the body of Christ like we're the only ones doing it right. No, not at all. There's precious people that in our old building in Fredonia right now, we're renting it out. Precious Church of God. They do things different than us. I'm not going to go to their services. I'm not going to feed from the people that they feed from. Likewise, they're not coming and feeding from the people that I feed from. And that's okay. It's good for us to know where we're planted so that we can grow in those things. When a child is conceived in the womb and those cells begin to grow, the way that that happens is those cells, they turn into what are called embryonic stem cells. And we've all heard about that before. But those stem cells are basically a blank page. And that's a blank page waiting for instruction from genetic code of what those cells are supposed to become. So we could say it like this. I'm a liver cell. Hello, I'm a liver cell. My name's Scott, and I'm a liver cell. My job, my instructions are to become a liver cell. But what if I look up at the brain, and I say, you know, I kind of like what the brain is saying. I like the way their instructions look. I'm gonna follow some of their instructions. I'll stay where I'm supposed to stay, but I'm going to follow some of their instructions too. I'm going to be a broken liver cell, yeah. Right? We've got to know where God has directed us to get instructions from. When we do, we can thrive in that location. We need our livers to be our livers. We need our brains to be our brains. I'm glad for both of them and that they're doing the job that they're supposed to do. Guarding our hearts means that we guard where we feed from. It can be dangerous for us to go out and listen to every single speaker on Christian radio, up, down, and sideways, and meditate on their teachings, feed from their teachings. There may be good things in what they're saying, but that doesn't mean that that's the message that God has for me. This is where I receive my feeding from the Lord. This is where I get my help from heaven, is in this place, under this ministry. Of course, you, I'm saying you, me and Fredonia. I know, I've been out, even, you know, I've ministered, this is my fifth or sixth week out of Fredonia this weekend, ministering. I'm happy to do it. You know, that's the call, I have to serve. That's what I love to serve. I love the opportunity to. But I sure miss hearing my pastor, feeding from my pastor. You know, and I can listen to his services online, but being able to sit in his service and actually get it fresh, not just leftovers, right? It's always better the first time. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So know where you need to feed from. We'll close with this. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. Not every voice that speaks is the voice that you need to listen to. This is all guarding our hearts so that we can go where God wants us to go. Numbers 13. And we're going to start in verse 26. It says, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron." These are the 12 spies that went out to spy out the promised land. "And to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word with them unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came in a land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." There's so much here, but we're not just looking at the faith side of it tonight. But remember, we're looking at feedings tonight. Feeding our associations. "But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were as grasshoppers, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now listen to this. Ten people came back with an evil report of the land. We know that Caleb and Joshua didn't. They came back with God's vision of the land, right? But 10 people came back with an evil report of the land. How others fed on what those 10 people said determined how things went for them. 14:1, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." And it goes on to say how they, you know, essentially rebelled against God and His promises. Now later on in that chapter, we won't look there, but we see the judgment that comes down on these Israelites, that 40 years they had to wander the wilderness. Their carcasses had to die in the wilderness, He said, for a full generation, because the entire group of people fed on the wrong teaching of 10 people. Now they may have said, well, these are leaders. Surely I can follow what they're saying. It didn't work out well for them. See, we know when we feed on the things of God, we know that our pastors are Joshua's and Caleb's, right? They're going with God's vision. We know that when we follow the things that they're saying and we feed on those things, and those are the things that we allow into our hearts, we're guarding our hearts to go in the direction that He wants us to go in. Amen. So if we're talking about guarding our hearts, remember there's 3 areas we need to guard our hearts in: our associations. Who's our closest intimate relationships with? Are they with people that speak positive into our life, that bring us up higher? If they're not, bring people into that inner circle. I'm not even saying go out and cut off relationships or things like that. I'm saying make sure that your inner circle has people in it that will bring you up higher. You know who those people can be? Look around you tonight. That's the local church. That's what it's for. We bring each other up. We're taught the Word of God, and then that's why we don't just have the Word, that's why we have fellowship too. Break bread together. Enjoy company together. I don't just see my church family Sundays and Wednesdays. I see them throughout the week. I text them throughout the week. I love on them throughout the week, and they love on me throughout the week. Why? We're together in this. Amen. Amen. Our associations with each other guard our hearts and bring us up higher. And our media intake, be careful. How much are we feeding on social media? How much are we feeding on the news? What music are we listening to? What movies are we watching? Are they things that are going to guard our hearts? That's the direction we go. Are we putting gasoline in? Not Coca-Cola. Right? And the last thing we know is the feedings. Where are we feeding on the Word from? There's a place we ought to be. That's our pastor. And anyone he tells us to hook up with, you know, Pastor Nancy Dufresne, the guest ministers he brings in and their materials. Of course, we know those are things we should feed on as well. We stay in the directions that God has given us and we'll be effective parts of the body of Christ. Amen? Were you helped tonight?
Amen.
You were, whether you know it or not. Because it's the Word. Amen? And know this, you know, nothing said tonight. We know that the Word helps us. It brings us higher. Sometimes there's growing pains. You know, my little boy, he's a tall boy, but he's laid in bed at night crying because his legs are growing so fast. Sometimes growing hurts, but it's good for us. Amen. It's good for us because it makes us, some of us have experienced growing pains. I'm not going to look at. Sorry. I love you, Kim Lai. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you for the local church. We thank you, Lord, for your Word. Lord, we know that your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And that means that it casts direction on where we need to go. Now, maybe, Lord, when that light is cast, there may be obstacles there. It may look hard. It may seem difficult. But we know that if we stay on your path, that's the way to victory. And Lord, we believe that we've received help here tonight. Father, your plan for us is a good plan in this life. You gave us Jesus so that we could have faith birthed in our hearts and walk out a life that's pleasing to you. Lord, you showed us how to do that tonight, how to guard our hearts, how to make sure that the things going into it are only things that are help us get to where you want us to go. Father, we thank you so much for this place, this local church where we can come and hear the Word of God, be strengthened, be challenged, but that we turn more and more into the image of Christ. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed in this place tonight, I want to give an invitation because I don't know everyone here. If you're here tonight, you know, we talked about guarding your heart. Well, in your heart is where Jesus Christ can live if you've made him the Lord of your life. That's what we guard, is keeping him and his Word safe in our hearts so that we can live a life that's pleasing to him, so we can live a life full of the manifestation of his promises for us. But if you're here tonight, maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that he's the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, that he went, died on the cross, went to hell in our place, and rose from the dead for us, that we'd be saved. So if you need to make that decision tonight, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Not only does it guarantee you a blessed life on earth, able to withstand the circumstances of life, but also it guarantees you a place in heaven for all eternity. That when we pass from this earth, we'd not go to hell, but we'd spend eternity in heaven with him. So if you need to give your life to Jesus tonight, I invite you to raise your hand now. I'm just looking around to make sure I see anybody. I believe we're all family here tonight, part of the body of Christ in this local body. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're listening on live stream, you can make this decision. It's easy. All you need to do is believe in your heart, just like I said, that Jesus is the Son of God, and then you just pray this prayer. You pray, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died for me, that he rose from the dead so that I could be saved. And from this day forward, my life will never be the same. And if you pray that prayer, make sure that you email the church, contact the church through the website, let the pastor know about it so that he can be a help to you and get you started on your walk with God. Praise the Lord. You can lift your heads. Well, I've so enjoyed being with you all tonight. Amen. I'm thankful for the Word. Amen. Thankful for the Word. The Word is it's a help to us. Amen. Amen. So just remember this. If there's things tonight that were said that maybe make you uncomfortable, things like that, just keep coming. Keep at it. And eventually, you know, maybe that meat will taste a little different than the milk. But wherever we are, just keep at it. Stay faithful. Most importantly, come back, especially if everything I said tonight was complete gibberish to you. Come back and hear Pastor Mike. Amen. Because he's the one anointed, like I've said, to preach in this place. And he's got the gift of God on him for to be the pastor of this location. So love you all so much. My extended family out here in Allegheny, New York. And trust that you have a wonderful, blessed week this week. You are dismissed.
So he, come on in the blood. In the blood. put him under. Put him under your feet. Come on, let's do it. Put him under. The Bible says he's under. Come on. Put him under your feet. Put him under.